Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. I'm Tim, and with me as always is Tanner. Tanner, how we doing, man?
Doing good. Just busier than usual for some reason, but still doing good, still going strong.
Yeah, man. I think both of us are feeling the busyness pick up as summertime approaches. Big things happening.
And plus the heat index is 100 outside, so that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, it got close to that this week in California too, so it is definitely that time of year, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking, you know, first off, let's just make sure that people understand that the New York promotion loves us hardcore fans, no matter what they try and tell you about their most recent $1 billion sales, because they have now started to do this thing on a weekly basis where each Thursday they are uploading new content they are calling hidden gems. And this past week, they uploaded absolute doozy of a match from a year that we'll talk about that is one of the best years in pro wrestling history. And this kind of adds to the fact that this was one of the best years in wrestling history. So from 1983, this was just the end of the summer in 1983. It is a U.S. title bout between Rowdy Roddy Piper and Greg the Hammer Valentine from the NWA. This match, Tanner, I think we all know about the dog collar match at Starrcade.
Yeah.
Brutal match, like literally a match that as time has gone on, people appreciate more and more just because it is such a unique match, the best match of that style. You know, a lot of things have been said over it. But this match right here that we, you know, just got unleashed last week, it's starting to really turn heads about just how incredible the chemistry is between Piper and Valentine. And this is one of the more unique matches I think you'll ever see between two guys like this.
Oh, absolutely. And it really makes you feel like maybe they actually legit hated each other, because go at it like, I mean, this is the early 80s and they're out there putting on like all-timer brawls, like still to this day. And I mean, it's just the intensity, the rabidness, I guess, of it. It's just so much different than anything today or even in the last two decades. It's just like a viciousness you don't really see anymore.
This match, you know, for those who are in attendance, the date is July 9th of 1983. So people know that in 1983, the NWA still had was still very much a territorial promotion and was very much centered around their promotions, Mid-Atlantic and Florida and et cetera. And it took Dusty Rhodes bringing everybody together in 83 to say, hey, let's, you know, show them all off in one big show like this. And so this was kind of the last year, though, that this was in place. And this was one of those things where, you know, Piper had been in Portland and was a huge star there. Then he comes to the NWA, and this is right before he jumps to the WWF the next year. But this match, like, if you think about what the two guys are meant to do, is like they're intense. They really get after each other. You know, Valentine is a legendary figure because of what he did in the 70s with Wahoo and his great title reign there as U.S. champion. This match, though, like, I don't know if you could have another match like this with any other two guys in 83. Like, I mean, I know they're great brawlers, but these guys do nothing but strike each other. Like, there's two wrestling moves in the entire match. There's a gut buster from Valentine, and there's a snap across the top rope by Piper. Those are the only two quote-unquote wrestling moves in the entire match. Everything else is a punch or a kick or an elbow or a thumb to the eye or a shot into the post. I mean, this match, I am in shock at how good this match is, just with that type of structure around it.
Oh yeah, really, and am. Like, fail to mention like the work over like the ear of Piper's ear.
Oh is, God, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, you just like, how many matches have you ever seen where like the main part of the match is, I'm going to work over this guy's ear? None. Right. And like the fact that this happened 35 years ago is just insanity to me. It's like, I can't believe like this has just been hidden and put away for all these years. And like, it really makes you wonder how much other stuff at this level or near this level that they just have in the vault that right. nobody's ever seen.
Yeah. This is what we're going to get to, I think, at the yeah. end of this content, at the end of this, because like, man, like, yeah, I think what really interests me, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth, but yeah, it's like, what could they possibly be holding back that I think when you think about how they can roll this out for the next several years, to be perfectly honest with you, could they just continue to say, oh yeah, here's this. Here's like some lead up to Duggan and DiBiase in Mid-South, or here's a Ricky Steamboat Flair match that nobody has ever seen, yeah. you know, that type of stuff. And man, I just can't imagine it. Like, so you're right about the ear stuff. Obviously, you know, the chain match, the dog collar match in November at Starrcade, that is famous because of what happens to Piper's ear, because, you know, that's a story that had been worked on, as yeah. you see in this match. And, you know, he actually gets busted up hard way in the ear and loses hearing in that ear. Piper has talked about that. I don't know if that's – I'm guessing that's a shoot. If you're talking like that, I think it's a shoot. But Valentine's shots to the ear in this, like, as soon as he goes there, that's the only thing he cares about. That's a different yeah. type of psychology. Like, as soon as he goes to the ear and knows he can kind of take care of mm-hmm. Piper's equilibrium, that's his entire – basis for the match, and it's one of the more unique things. Oh,
absolutely.
You'll ever see.
And just it, again, like, I mean you see it in shoot style sometimes of like working over an ear, right. but you never see it in like, you know, early 1980s territorial brawl, or you never really see it in just any other type of match. Like, really the only match you ever see with even a faint interest of the ear is shoot style. So the fact that this happened in the early 80s, it's kind of like, I don't want to say revolutionary, because obviously people picked up on it without, you know, this match ever seeing the light of day for 35 years. But it's just insane to me, like, how genius it was. Like, it's so simple to work over the ear, because, I mean, obviously the ear is very flexible. It can take a little bit more punishment, so you can get a little more hard way with it. And like in the story of trying to throw off a wrestler's equilibrium, well, if a wrestler doesn't have equilibrium, that's better than working over any singular body part, because they can't do anything without equilibrium. So it's like you said, it's really a next level psychological move.
And I have to think that and Valentine obviously has been around, but you have to imagine Piper, like, you know, saying, and you have to, you know, his work in Portland, you know, as this just fired up guy, you know, it comes through here. Obviously, you see that, you see how he can just kind of bring that in and really show off just how great a babyface he is. One of the things I think about is, like, you know, I talked with Stephen Graham about this many a time, you know, Rick Martel as kind of that. You know, the great 80s fired up baby face. I think about Rick Martel, just because I think he gets that idea better than anyone here. But Piper in this match, he takes this to an completely another level. He is, from the moment that he gets Valentine in the ring, his intensity and the way he, like, just watch his face in this match. I can't remember a Piper performance where you absolutely buy he wants to take care of somebody this badly. Like, yeah. this is insane.
Yeah.
The type of heat he can get with just a look, and really just the crowd in this match just eats it all up. And I just think this is a tremendous babyface performance from him. And you have good babyface performances from him, because he's just a fiery guy.
Yeah.
But this, I think, is the best example of it that I have seen. This is above and beyond, I think, what I would expect is him from him as a babyface.
Oh yeah, like, and I, you know, just being a relatively newer fan in the grand scheme of things, haven't seen as much Piper as a lot of people. I've seen, you know, a fair share, but I absolutely agree with you 100%. This is, I mean, this is an all-timer performance, never mind just a great Piper performance. Like, it's, I can't get over just the fact that just nobody knew that this happened, and then it's just there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so wild to me. Like, there's no other medium of entertainment that happens. And I mean, I guess when you go into like, you know, an artist's vault after they died, and it's like, oh, they have thousands of songs in here nobody's ever heard.
Right.
And it's kind of like that. And then you just pull up, it's like an all-time Piper performance. Valentine is phenomenal in this match with, I mean, his both guys' intensities are just off the charts. And then you, again, like the ear work, I can't go on enough about the ear work. I'm not one of those guys who's like, oh, you have to work over a limb. But God, the ear work in this is just so ahead of its time, really. It's like wild. Like, I mean, obviously I know with the dog collar match, but like even here, like to set up, it sets up the dog collar match. Like, it gives that match a whole new perspective, really, because it's like, oh, they've been working over the ear for months. So
yeah. Imagine seeing this match on the loop, you know, like it's like, this is July, right?
Yeah.
So you have 4 or 5 months really until Starrcade. And so you're working the loop on this match, you know, going around the entirety of Mid-Atlantic. And it's just amazing to think with this match, how many other matches like this are out there. And you know, before we get to kind of the grander scheme of things with what this could mean down the line for these hidden gems. So the match itself, like, I think one of the great things about it is, you know, it kind of starts off with your typical kind of Memphis stall heel tactics by Valentine. And then Piper, as you would see in a match like this, he would kind of get the upper hand. And then you talk about the ear, you know, as soon as Valentine gets there and he goes after the ear, that's when he realizes he has something. And so Piper starts to get more and more desperate with his attacks. He's going after the eye. He's breaking him in the face. He's bloodying up Valentine, and there's a receipt for that on Valentine's end. But let's talk about the finish, because the finish
it's batshit.
It's okay. So this is the same week that WWE closed $2 billion TV deals based upon their youth watching their shows. Okay, let's just point this out. So they're like, okay, so here's what we'll give the hardcores. We'll give you, as part of this hidden gems feature we're going to start to do on a weekly basis, one of the first matches we're going to show you is a match where the face, because he doesn't care really about winning the title from the heel, he just wants to beat him up, he's going to take the ring rope from the outside of the ring, and he's going to try and literally hang the heel over the top rope with it. He's going to try. We've seen that plenty of times with people hung over the top rope with a bull rope or whatever. But this is this is next level insanity. And the crowd reaction to it is one of the damnedest things I've ever seen. I mean, they are unglued.
Oh, yeah.
For
the crowd is phenomenal.
Yeah, and then it takes 6 or 7 guys from the locker room to try and pull Piper off it after the ref throws it out, and rightfully so. And Valentine is spitting up, like, as he's being choked. Like, it's gruesome. Yeah. Like, it is, like, absolutely gruesome. And it's one of the great, like, if you think of those types of finishes, and you've seen it, like the Hanson Funk finish, right? That's in All Japan in 80s, I think it was 82. Like, that's one of the all-time great those types of finishes. But this, I think, is the best of all time. Like, you're not going to see a better, like, or a representation of that type of finish, I think, in any
wrestling because you
match.
Thought Piper was legitimately trying to kill him. That's obviously no. Like, it looked like Piper, who again was the babyface here, was just trying to kill Greg Valentine, which is, I don't think that can be stressed enough, that Piper was undoubtedly 100% the baby face in this match. And he's like, you know what? Go to kill him.
Yeah. Like literally trying to kill another human being. You want to talk about working yourself into a shoe.
Oh my God.
I'm just in awe of this. You know, I'm not sure if I can put it above the dog collar match, but it is like, and so let's get into the talking point you've talked about. Like, what other stuff is in this vault like this?
I mean,
like nobody knew about this match. The hardest core of hardcore fans knew nothing about this match. There was not a thing that made anybody think that this match existed. And now, I mean, there's all these matches out there that if this is indicating like where this is going forward, like, I mean, like, what else could we possibly see? This is insane to think that there's hundreds, maybe thousands of other matches like this, and the network could just pump it out on a weekly basis for years on end. This is kind of what people were hoping for from the start when it came to the network, when it started up in 2014.
Yeah, it's one of those things, because I remember for the longest time, the last battle of Atlanta was like the holy grail professional wrestling. And then all of a sudden, you know, the network's like, oh, we have it. Here you go. And it's just there. Like, it's one of those things where it's like nobody had ever seen it. But everybody knew about it because it was everybody's like, you know, everybody just wanted it. And, you know, they put it up there and it pretty much lived up to the hype. So it's one of those things. It's like, where did they go next? I mean, there's so many, I feel like, pairings of wrestlers that we've just never seen that definitely happened. Like, we have evidence that it happened, but have no video. I mean, like Flair Hansen in the early 80s, like that's my holy grail. I want to see Hansen versus Flair from that time period. Right. And then that doesn't even take into the fact of just like the fact that they've recorded every house show that they've ever done. Like how many like just random one-off house show pairings do they have like in full HD or full, you know, great, not just, you know, cell phones. So it's really exciting just from like, even if you're not interested in the current product, I feel like the hidden gems is like enough of a pull, especially with it being weekly now, to justify a network subscription. That and 205 Live. But
yeah, correct. And the greatest wrestler in the world, Buddy Murphy. I think what really has caught everybody off guard with this is essentially what you just kind of brought up, that I think the types of matches, because of the footage that the WWE has collected over the years, all these things in Mid-South that we might have heard about, or if we know about kind of the timelines for some of their biggest feuds, like, okay, we know what makes TV, but is there anything else that Watts had that, you know, he wasn't able to use? And all of a sudden, you know, people are going through footage, you know, trainees at the Performance Center are going through footage, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, what the hell was that? Like, I guarantee you that a match like this is kind of what I have a feeling that this has been shown to, like, Gargano and Ciampa. Like, I guarantee this match has been shown to them. But, like, I just thinking of it in those terms, what are they showing these guys? And what are guys like Hero or some of these other people down there who are just junkies on this stuff, are they finding because they're trying to study up and figure out ways to improve their own game? Like, I just can't imagine what they could possibly pull out of their hat. Like, there's just too many things, like you said, that really could turn this into perhaps the greatest feature that the network ever gives us, regardless of what you think of their content.
I like to think that Hero just signed just to get access to the tape library. Like, that was the long play here. Like, he's like, I have unlimited tape study now. Like, God, that'd be fantastic.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about 83, Tanner, because 83 if you think about it, just like in the NWA's terms, I think a lot of people think it might be their best year ever because you have everything that led up to Starrcade this year. You had Final Battle. You had the last battle of Atlanta. Like 83 in the NWA in that part of the country, Mid-Atlantic, you know, the Southern territories like that. Look, there was very – I think that you could make a case that it's the best year the NWA ever had from an in-ring perspective. In Mexico, you had the MS-1 Sangre Chicana feud, which led to a lot of people's greatest match in the history of Lucha Libre in 1983. You had Jumbo doing his thing in All Japan in 1983. You had New Japan behind Choshu and Fujinami really starting to find their mark in 1983. You had Hansen jumping from Japan, from New Japan to All Japan in 1983. You had the AWA in 1983. Like, does this kind of confirm that the 1983, as far as brawls go, like, is this the best brawling year on record? Like, I can't imagine any other year having, like this stands up to Chicana MS-1. Like this, that's no joke. Like that, I mean, Chicana MS-1 is one of the greatest brawls ever, if not the greatest brawl ever. And this is right up there with it for a pure hatred, pure, just absolute knuckled up brawl. Like where, what's your stance on where this kind of holds up in the greater scheme of things for what 1983
brought? Well, as far as 83 goes, I totally agree with you. I think as far as like big time brawls go, I don't think there's another year in professional wrestling that's really even close to it, to be, especially now with this, and like just to think of other stuff we could get from 83, like it, I don't think it's really close. Like as far as quantity goes, I think we probably get more brawl, especially if you watch any like indie lucha stuff, like a lot of that are brawls, but they don't bring, you know, the I don't want to say right. big budgetness, but like the intensity and the hatred and I guess the crowd of, you know, like this match did. And as far as like where does Piper and Valentine, this match, land on that spectrum, I agree with you. I think it's right up there with the greats. From the, it's so crazy to think that this could be one of the greatest brawls of all time, maybe not even the greatest from its year, like just to tell you how stacked of a year 1983 was for great brawls in professional wrestling. And again, like I said, I don't think it's really close that it's probably the best year for brawls ever, at least from what I've seen. Like I haven't seen everything, but from what I have seen, I would say 83 is definitely number one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people who tries to put things in perspective as best you could. Like I like to think of it in years. Like we've talked about how 89 is a tremendous in-ring year. 93 might be the greatest year of all time, just from a variety standpoint and so many people peaking footage, all that stuff, all coming together like that. And so to see this 35 years ago, this the 35 years ago, and really shows just. And like I said, like we've talked about, like how this could be just like this could be just an example of what else is out there, right? I mean, the stuff leading up to Race Flair, some of the other stuff on in the AWA, like there's probably great Bockwinkel footage in 83 AWA that as much as we've seen from like the 80s AWA project, maybe there's stuff that we haven't
or
seen,
like early, you know? Andre stuff. But they probably have a. They probably have every Andre match ever in their vault, and they're just like hoarding it at this point. It's just, and like I don't know, like where people stand on it, but like if you've ever seen early Andre, it's vastly different than, you know, later era Andre. Like it's an insane difference. Like it's kind of like early Big Show in the way where how like quickly he moves around the ring and stuff.
Yeah. I did a wrestler snapshot on Andre with Stephen Graham a few years ago. And I mean, his early stuff is just, it really gives you an idea of just how great Andre was. And he is, I think the guy that I think a lot of people would want to see from a hidden gem perspective. And like I said, I think that when you get to kind of go through and you get to say, oh, we want to throw this up. And they definitely have this planned out for the next 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer than that, because they're going to do this every week. Like, this is without a doubt, like, Thursday at midnight has now become like the go-to time for hardcore fans to say, what else could they throw at us? Because, you know, like this past week, they threw up a Jack Briscoe versus Ric Flair match from 1984. Yeah. That people are saying are pretty good. I haven't gotten to it yet, but like if that's the type of stuff we get to see on a weekly basis, like we might have content for the next for like the rest of this show's existence. We could do nothing but
absolutely. You know? Like, especially if they still have prime Flair matches in there, it will really make an interesting point. You know, if and when Greatest Wrestler Ever again happens, it's like, well, now we have, you know, 25, 30 like major Flair matches we just didn't have the last time we did this. And Piper has really, you know, skyrocketed. Like, I feel like Piper's somebody that can really benefit from this, because a lot of people like to pull in the perspective of, oh, he never won a major championship. But like, you can't deny greatness when it's right there. So,
right. So this is a pretty easy recommendation as far as like what you would expect from a match between these two, but it goes beyond that. Like, I know that a lot of people on this have either heard of this match or have seen it themselves, but we definitely want to talk about it just because, as we've mentioned, the implications of the Hidden Gem stuff going forward. Like, if this is how you started off, the possibilities are endless.
Oh, absolutely.
And we really cannot wait to see what happens. So, so definitely go watch this. It's on the network. Watch it multiple times. Like, I definitely have. I'm guessing Tanner's watched it multiple times at this point. Like, it's just, yeah, it's worth the price of admission.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely worth this month's WWE Network subscription.
Absolutely. If you like brawls and wrestling in general, like, this is the easiest recommendation of all time. Like, this is worth $10. Yeah. Not to mention that you just get all that great 205 live content. So,
correct. Yes, the A show of the show that, if that was presented to Fox or SmackDown, $1 billion would be the starting point. Yes, that would be the starting point. So, Tanner, good work for this show. Let's tell the people what's going on in the Twitter sphere for you. At this point,
you can follow me on my personal Twitter at Tanner1495. I've been really catching up on 2018 wrestling lately, so you're going to be seeing a lot about that. And you can follow my podcast, All You Can Hear, on Twitter at AYCH Podcast, and check us out at all of your various podcast locations like SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play.
Very cool. Yeah. You have a lot of thoughts of the All Japan Champions Carnival. That was fun to read on this.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun to go through.
Yeah. Very good carnival this year.
And
then for me, I'm at Mr. Tim Livingston. And you can also follow PPW for Petaluma at PPW Petaluma. And we have our show on June the 1st that just happened. And so you'll see footage from that hopefully soon. They have the last show that we did from May 1st up right now. And so you can go on YouTube and just search PPW Petaluma, and you can find all the greatness there with me and Eric Ritz on the commentary from Segunda Caída. And actually next week, Eric and I are going to be back on the Lucha Underground review kick. Too soon for some of us. I think it's too soon in some ways, but yeah, so we'll be back reviewing that show here on Segunda Caída. That's segundacaida.blogspot.com. So, Tanner, great stuff, man. We'll do this again next week.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.